Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you. Yes, you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Do you ever find sometimes that your conversations with your queen get a little bit same shit different day? That there's sort of like beyond the how was work, how was your day, couple of mundane questions about the kids, nothing sparks off into this blazing spiritual fire of connection, of adventure, of curiosity, of like two kindred spirits, you know, best friends on the journey of life, you know, in this bubbling creative cauldron of spiritual expression coming true as you speak to each other. The vast majority of guys that I would pose this question or any type reflections on, the vast majority are like, oh man, it's like, it's more the same shit, different day. There's no God, spiritual fire, libido, passion in conversation, going there, creativity, childlike energy, you know, like, let's fucking go. Like, the best is yet to come is the sort of a feeling that's coming through in conversations. It's like, no. The furthest thing from the mundane, same shit, different day, 20 million, or it seems like there's 20 million boxes to tick for you, boxes to tick for your queen, for your kids, etc., etc. It's like the mundaneness of it all takes up all the dashboard of your mind and your queen's mind. And if that's the case for you, hey, accept where you're at. Be at one with that. The good news is this episode is going to be talking about generative questions. And these are the superpower. It's an absolute superpower. I'm taking ones that are predominantly coming from inspiration of the work off the back of John Gottman, the Gottman Institute. John and his wife, I believe her name is Julie, if I remember correctly. Total badasses, they're studying marriage, intimate relating, the last 40, 50 years. And they really came into this idea of generative questions. Whether they originated it, they definitely took that as a practice in couples that they were supporting to get their marriages back online. See, generative questions are, they're not your standard questions. You know, how are you? How is work? They go so far beyond the same shit, different day. They generate a curiosity. They generate a true sense of adventure that when you ask them and you set the container for them, it brings your queen on a journey deep inside her heart, her soul, to parts of her mind that she has long forgotten, dreams, visions, ideas, things about the now. It forces her in an inspiring way. It forces her to go beyond the same shit, different day mundaneness of everyday relating into rekindling a connection with her heart and soul, her spirit, her essence. And when you are the human being that are bringing her there, that is setting the container for her to go there, you rapidly come back online as being the most valuable person in her life. And let's just get things straight. You know, marriage, any is like any relationship. It's a value proposition. Like, you need to strip out this, oh, but I've been a good guy, you know, I'm a nice guy, you know, why is she, you know, maybe talking divorce, putting separation ideas on the table? Why has she had the affair with the other guy? Why has she gone off me? Why have we not had sex in so long? Etc, etc, etc. You know, you're a nice guy, a good guy. It doesn't matter shit. It's the level of value you bring to the table or not. And if you're like me for 12 years, like, the value I brought to the table was dwindling to less and less and less and less. It was invisible to me that there was such a lack of value. But hey, the nervous system of your queen is reflecting back to you the amount of value she perceives in you, in the way you are showing up in the daily dance. So again, heroic humility, grounded truth, come back to there time and time again. To get a little bit of context, this is repetition is mastery, because if you're to this movement today, you're welcome aboard. Some of you are have been listening in and are going back through the episodes. There's amazing stories that I hear of guys really, they like the masculine spiritual essence of what has been spoken to here. So you're going back through all the different episodes. Repetition is mastery. In these, in landing the generative questions, there is a distinct practice of the three core masculine leadership traits that I define as presence, progress, and protection. Presence is the unwavering focus on person you are with or task you are performing to full completion. Progress, leading the conversations and system setup needed to create your expanding family vision. And protection, setting boundaries, stopping the forces that impede you and your family's full authentic human expression. These three leadership traits are in full practice when you're landing generative questions. To land these questions, number one, it's like, ask one question. When you land it and you set the container, the environment well, one question is enough. I'm going to introduce you to 15 questions as quickly and as concisely as I can. There's five queen-centered questions, five relationship-centered questions, and five future-centered questions. Queen-centered, hey, she's the number one human being in your life. You want to know about her. Number two, the relationship, well, centered questions. Hey, you're having the power and the courage to for progress, leading the conversations. And you might even say this is system setup, because when you set up a system, that's something that you do regularly and often. Generative questions are something to bring regularly and often. You know, one question at a time, but you set up and you start having those deep, intimate, meaningful, life-centered, expansive conversations. I mean, you're bringing immense value. So you're setting the system up, leading the conversations. We end up tending as guys to, we're scared shitless of rejection, we're scared shitless of judgment. So we just don't have the conversations. The masculine practice is non-surrender. So in this, you know, if you're going in, it's like the ex-Navy SEAL, David Goggins, you know, if you're going through the door, go through the fucking, kick the fucking door down. You know, it's like, if you're going to use the generative questions, use it with full courage. And, you know, the first, if she's tired or whatever, you know, if she just doesn't go with the first one, maybe it's not the question that she's open to. Don't back off. They're really brilliant. So setting the container is a key masculine skill. And I don't want to jump into the questions. Some of you information hungry junkies committed, just give me the fucking questions, Mark. Well, if you want questions, just stop now and fucking Google generative questions. Container setting is a key masculine skill set. The mistake that, like, the self-sabotaging part of us can do very often is it will listen to a podcast episode like this, read a book, and it will use what is being said in a way that almost, like, subconsciously guarantees it won't work. So if you have, like, this subconscious feeling, and most of us do, that, you know, you're just not lovable and you're getting what you deserve in relationship, etc., etc., the self-sabotaging habit will be, you'll use the question, but it'll be like, you'll do it with the attitude of, here, you know, I'm going to ask this generative question, heard it on a podcast, it's meant to work. And you'll fuck it in, like, at a time when your queen is changing the baby's nappy, she's tired, she's after work, she's in the middle of, like, I don't know, doing some household chores, and you're busy too, so you're not fully present with her, and you land in, hey, you know, what dream have you put on hold, and why haven't you pursued it yet? And then she will naturally just go, like, are you fucking kidding me? Maybe not with her language, but her, you know, she'll shoot it down, and you'll be there Oh, poor me, lo and behold, victim of the world, you know, like I'm not being loved, and this is why she does this to me always, blah, blah, blah. Hey, if you're going to do that, like stop listening to this record, to not only this recording, this podcast. If you want to stay stuck in victim mindset, wrong podcast for you. If you want to stay stuck, if you want to unstick yourself, welcome to the party. Myself included, every man here. How have we got to listening to this podcast and how have I got to presenting this podcast? Victim mindset, getting stuck in that. So if you want to unstick victim mindset, listen up. Container setting is key for all masculine practice. For generative questions, you need to have the container set. Like, have it as a safe space where as much as possible there are no distractions. You know, the preference is it's yourself and yourself and your queen. King and queen. I know where I have used generative questions even before I knew that was the name of them. The king and queen walk. Myself and my queen, on an almost daily basis, we go for a king and queen walk for 5-10 minutes minimum. It was a minimum 10 minutes. 5 minutes to the end of the lane, 5 minutes back, minimum of 10. Very often, by the time we get back for 10 minutes, unless we have something scheduled in tightly, we're feeling that inspired. It's like, hey, do you want to, like, we'll go for another lane. It's a time when there's no distractions. We don't have phones. The kids are back home. The odd time we don't take the dogs, depending on what we're talking for. So it's like distraction free. You got to set up that distraction free container. No kids, or if there's kids, just make sure that they're off doing something. Of course, you mightn't have, like, I'm not talking that you, like, don't make it impossible for yourself. If kids are in the next room watching a cartoon, whatever, and they seem that they're, you know, self-contained in whatever they're doing, yes, of course, that's okay. Don't ask for perfection either. But as much as possible, have it at a time where there's no distractions. You're not like in the middle of a film, like, oh, and you take a little bit of a break. Oh, I landed in now. No, like, her mind is on something else. Super late at night, probably not the best time. So, yeah, set the container. And no reciprocation expectation. You know, don't go into it like a little five-year-old with a five-year-old attitude of you're bringing the art that you just vomited out that you think is like the best of the best of the best of the world of art, and you're holding up, oh, mommy, you know, here's my art, and it's like, you know, love me. You know, I've brought a generative question from the podcast. Look at me, I'm a good boy. You should, bitch. You know, you should meet me there, and if you don't, you're a bitch. Like, you're treating me unfairly again. Look at me. I'm trying to transform a marriage here, and you won't even meet me there. Don't go in with an expectation of reciprocation. Masculine practice is courage, 10 out of 10. If you're going through the door, go through the fucking door. Kick the damn door down. Not as Navy SEAL style attitude. Maybe not like as aggressively, but meet me there. You know, with courage. Hey, baby, and land a question. But don't have this needy, she's got to meet you there with love and smiles and open-heartedness, and oh God, she went there and she, like, went into the depths of her soul. It might not happen in the first time, because maybe you set the container, but maybe just that's the question for her, that it can, some of them can trigger stuff and resistance, but have the courage to maintain your structure, ask the question, and hold space for wherever she goes. Some of these questions or styles of questions that I've asked my queen, some of them have triggered like deep fears in her that she felt really hesitant to go towards. So again, don't be expecting that she land, the experience that will be landed back to you will be like on a silver platter with lots of smiles and appreciation. They're deep, beautiful and powerful questions. So hold space for it. Ask the question and then listen. Shut the fuck up. Listen. Allow her space to answer the question. And then when she does answer, assuming that she does, follow up. You know, like, and what else? Maintain that state of curiosity. And what else is from, there's a coaching book, I'm forgetting the name of it, it's one of the most, like, it's a million, has sold a million plus books. this the author was saying, like, this is the most powerful question in the coaching world. And what else? Simply ask, and what else? It prizes beyond the first answer, and the first bit of the answer can be the superficial part of it. And what else probes and sets the container up for your queen to go deeper, to go to the next level. And that's the level where heart and soul, tears of joy, tears of grief will come, you know, like it really opens the thing up. So powerful stuff there, just for you, like the reminder of presence, progress, protection, the container setting. That in itself is a reminder of how to hold space for your queen in any conversation. So let's get into these generative questions, guys. Queen-centered. Question number one of queen-centered questions. What's a change you'd love to make in how you care for yourself? And there's a follow-up question on the one curiosity. What are some ways I could support you? So to repeat that, what's a change you'd love to make in how you care for yourself? And what are some ways I could support you? Self-care is crucial for, hey, husbands and wives, but you're with your queen. It's one of, in the vast majority of cases, it's one of the most ignored parts of women's lives in marriage. Men also. But for women, you know, taking care of themselves, there can be so many expectations of being the perfect mother, perfect wife, perfect housekeeper, perfect, like, and they're working as well. Modern women, beautiful, but it's like just having everything perfect, the home, the nest, you know, just tending to everything, and they forget themselves. So be the husband that brings that to the conversation, brings it to the light of, hey, if it feels overwhelming and chaotic, but you land that in the safe time that you have created and you bring it up in conversation. What's a change you'd love to make in how you care for yourself? What are some ways I can support you? You're the supportive husband, you're her king. You want to know this and see where she goes. I know when I brought this to my queen, for a long time, you know, she had when we met, she was a qualified yoga instructor. But when I brought this style of question to her, it's a few years ago, it brought her back. Like she teared up. She's like, I haven't been doing yoga in like I don't know when. And since that bringing that generative question, by and large, it's, you know, she's been holding a daily yoga practice, and she's feeling shit hot, looking shit hot as well. But she feels really, really great when that practice is going. And it has, honestly, guys, it has taken a lot of the heat off the pressure I was feeling in relationship because, you know, with my queen and me supporting that, like at the same time every day, whatever I know about it, set the kitchen, we've a smallish house, whatever, doing whatever in the environment to set her up, communicate to the kids. Keep it distraction free for the half hour that mommy's doing her yoga. It's taking the heat and the pressure off me because when she's doing yoga, she's feeling great. And when she's feeling great, hey, life is easier. It's easier for her. It's easier for me. So it's a really powerful question. Super powerful. Number two, queen centered. What is something you'd like to do more of in your life? What is something you'd like to do more of in your life? Sort of related to the care, taking care of yourself, but it's more general. It's like something you'd like to do more of in your life. When I asked that to my queen, writing, she teared up. I remember she teared up. She's like, I'm not writing. She said, Mark, I haven't been writing. And it's like when we met first, Matilda had written her first book. She had it like fully finished, etc., etc. But it was years, years. We were like, I don't know, was it like 14 years into marriage? They hadn't been writing. So this one question, what is something you'd like to do more of in your life, brought out writing. And then Then we got to work. She got to work and I got to work. It's like, okay, well. And I came out with a lot of resistance. She was like, oh, but I don't have time. Like, I mean, there's just no time, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, we just, you schedule it in. And we will make the ecosystem work around it. And when she got through the resistance of it, she got established, she got the book done. And hey, guys, there was many, many conversations between that and now because, hey, these questions to bring out incredibly potent topics. So it's not just that the question brought out the answer and then we just answered it. It's like, but they're so meaningful. Where we're at now, where Matilda's at, is she is literally 3 days from a professional editor that she's paid $2,500 to edit her book because she's going gung-ho to get her book published and she's on fire. She's on fire, guys. When she's writing, she's in the zone. When she's in the zone, you know, how her energy shows up around the place, it's just like, and it brings that beautiful, creative, blissful, feminine energy because she's doing something that she wants to do more of in her life. And then I get this beautiful, inspirational role to go, I'm here to support you. I'm your number one fan. I say that to her. I'm your number one fan. I will do everything in my power to support you doing cool stuff that you love doing. And she, like, it's creating such a bond. So what is something you'd like to do more of in your life? Super profound question. And again, it gives you the opportunity to be your number one fan. Question number 3 of Queen-Centered Questions. What dream have you put on hold and why haven't you pursued it yet? What dream have you put on hold and why haven't you pursued it yet? In writing this up, I actually brought this one to Matilda yesterday. And yeah, she went back to... she was studying white flora and fauna, and her ex, who we still laugh to this day, it's like I met her in the 3 or 4 weeks after her ex had broken up with her. It's like, yeah, I'm the 16 and a half year rebound. I'm still riding off the back of it, guys. I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm setting myself to be the most successful relationship rebound artist in history. So far, so good. Yeah, what dream have you put on hold and why haven't you pursued it? When I brought that to Matilda yesterday, she was actually talking about Wales. It's a childhood dream that she wanted to study Wales. She wanted to line up her whole life around them. And with her ex, hey, they were both studying the same degree, wild flora and fauna. When that went sort of south and sort of got nasty and shitty, it's like she cut off that part of her life, the wildlife part, dropped. As she was talking yesterday, it ended up being like a really powerful half-hour question or more where she teared up and she was like the emotional pain she never realized subconsciously. She just slowly but surely cut that part of her expression out. So, you know, is she going to be going studying whales around the planet? Well, probably not professionally, like she might have been thinking of 25 years ago. Who knows? I'm open to it. Well, it would be a pretty major thing. However, it puts it up on my dashboard then to go, wow. Like I thought straight away, it's like, okay, well, I've seen some trips in Norway. We're in Europe where you can go whale spotting. And hey, we could have like a week-long holiday, 2 weeks, get the right season where whales are in. There are these cool things. So I was like, yeah. Hold on, that gives me something to chew with. Like, can you imagine that? Like, I'm just imagining myself going, hey, baby, we're going to Norway. We're going to whatever place. We're going to see the whales and we're going to be housed and right beside and you're going to be able to volunteer at whatever center, et cetera, et cetera. This is all details that came from the conversation. She was talking about volunteering centers. So I now have a ton of data. There's a ton of jigsaw pieces on my table this morning that I can share with you now because it's like it came from my queen. She's like, oh, I always thought, you know, like maybe not long term, but could I volunteer at one of these places, you know, work with people that are doing it, etc., etc. I'm alive. The woman I love gave me sacred jigsaw pieces yesterday. And Yeah, it's the juice of it. This is why generative questions are so powerful. So, what dream have you put on hold, and why haven't you pursued it yet? Number four in Queen-centered questions. What fear might you like to overcome, and how might it change your life? What fear might you like to overcome, and how might it change your life? I can't like give you the exact like, and some of these questions I've actually taken John Gottman's style of questions from it, so I just want to make that exclusive link. Sure, it mightn't be the exact same type of question, but I definitely have went with generative questions with my queen on this and her podcast. She has a podcast that has started like 12 months ago. Way fresher than my own podcast, and hey, she's really tapped into it. His daughters of narcissistic mothers, and pretty spectacular to success. Like more of an audience, it's really resonated. Women are out there looking for the work, and it came from that style of inquiry with her, where it's like, what fear might you like to overcome, and how might it change your life? My queen wanted to work with women that had been through narcissistic abuse with their mothers. She didn't know how to go at it. She was seeing me doing the podcast, but she thought that wasn't available to her. And hey, in that style of questioning, she's like, I'm afraid to do podcasts. I'm afraid to put myself out there. I'm afraid I want to do this, but I'm afraid to do it. Guys, it opened up Pandora's box, but I held space, breathed through it. We had the conversations, actually tons of conversations. More generative questions, digging a bit deeper on what else and what else and why is that so meaningful for you? Why is that so important? Okay, what could you do to, follow up questions, etc., etc. And here she is, a year later, she's storming on, spreading her business, setting up a membership, etc., etc. It's stunning. It's all off the back of generative questions. So, number four for Queen Centered. What fear might you like to overcome, and how might it change your life? It has definitely changed Matilda's life and everybody's life in this in our ecosystem. Fucking beautiful to see. Number five, what is currently stressing you that you haven't told me about? What is currently stressing you that you haven't yet told me about? Be the human being that, beyond your own stresses, beyond your sort of, we have this self-centered thing, and it's our spiritual practice to widen our circles of compassion and empathy for those around us. But it's a very common thing that we get so stuck with the overwhelm that we're experiencing with the sense of victimhood. Most of us are not aware. I know I was not aware of that my entire reality was based on victimhood. We don't think about touching base, truly touching base with our queens. And again, it's like you could say, but I ask her, how is she? How's her day at work? It's like she should tell me. Generative questions more accurately, more precisely, get inside. They get in underneath the layers of superficiality. So, how are you? How was your day? It's not powerful enough, and it's such a lazy ass question. I fucking did it for years, but it's like when you get more precise with your questions, it brings more information. So again, I'm just putting this out there. There can be that resistant can, and there is in most in all our nervous systems, this boy bitch egoic resistance of, but I do ask these questions, she just doesn't answer. Man, it's upskilling your capacity, and when you get more skillful and more precise with your wording, it makes a massive difference. So what is currently stressing you that you haven't told me about? It shows that you're empathizing with her human experience. You are her number one fan. You are her best friend, her soulmate in this world, and if there's anything stressing her out that you don't know about yet, you want to know about it. You're not caught in the chaos of your own shit, of your own stresses. And no matter what period you're going through, you value knowing the full details of what's happening for her. really, really potent question. So Queen's centered, five of them. What's a change you'd love to make in how you care for yourself? And follow up, what are some ways I could support you? What is something you'd like to do more of in your life? Number three, what dream have you put on hold and why haven't you pursued it yet? What fear might you like to overcome and how might it change your life? And number five, what is currently stressing you that you haven't told me about? Relationship centered. This is really, really juicy shit. Because relationship centered inquiry, like inquiry, the curiosity, 99.9% of men don't go there. And if they do go there, some guys go, I do ask questions about it. But it's like, you unwittingly do it with hardness, with fear, like you have rabbit in the headlights type look on your face and your tone of voice. And hey, like with good intentions, I get it. This is a paradigm shifter. You know, the vast majority of wives see and experience husbands that just don't go there, avoid it. And if they do, they barely dip their little pinky toe in the water of it. So your value skyrockets when you're the one in the relationship. You bring the relationship-centered questions. You bring the conversation right on that topic. As again, progress, leading the conversations and system setup needed to create your expanding family vision. And you're not afraid. You demonstrate to her. You are not afraid to go there. Super, super value building, trust building thing to do. Number one, relationship centered. How do you feel about the division of responsibilities in our relationship? Like any one of these questions, like you got to have the spiritual balls to hold space for the answer. But the answer will bring incredible data that will support you, like really transforming your marriage. How do you feel about the division of responsibilities in our relationship? It's a kick-ass question. And in these questions, definitely the relationship-centered ones, it's not all about your queen. Like, this is relationship-centered. This opens up a real deep, revealing container where both of you can speak your heart and soul on this. You know, the division of responsibilities in a relationship. I know with my queen, responsibilities in a relationship, there were certain parts of the practical setup in a relationship that I wasn't taking responsibility for. Like one practical thing was, like, we have a ton of animals and I had this certain, it was a real bullshit Mr. Nice Guy style reasoning, which was, I said yes to this mounting amount of animals. Like, we have something like 24 animals, including 8 horses, 2 dogs, 5 cats, budgies, rabbits. It's like, on a level, it's sort of crazy. So I didn't have the power, the integrity in my practice to say no a little bit more often. I've owned that, and hey, it's been a number of years where I have consciously kept the number from increasing any further. But I don't want to get rid of animals because they're part of the tribe. I have this tribal, primal part of me that goes, I will take extreme ownership of decisions in my past, and I won't let any being or one of my family members suffer as a result of me undoing my past lack of integrity. But it was one thing that I sort of said yes to these animals, but it was like on the back of, well, you know, I'd say yes, but I'm not going to be cleaning out the rabbit cages. Don't be asking me to clean out the extra cat litter trays. And, you know, like, you know, I'll say yes, but you do the work. It ultimately ended up, hey, kids were sort of saying they would do it. They would do it. Of course, when you have a fucking rabbit there in the shop, they'll say anything. But it was my wife that was taking a lot of the brunt of that. And this was going on for quite some time. This type of a question, it gave her the opportunity to go, well, actually, thanks for bringing it up, because I don't feel it's fair. It's like I'm at a point of overwhelm. I'm honoring that you said yes and that I get it, you didn't want to any more load, you told us at the time, but it's like the truth of the fact of the matter is the girls, you know, they do it sometimes, but it's like I'm the one that ultimately has it on my to-do list. Can you help me out? I was like, you know, it matured me, guys. Dare I say it? It matured me. I had to sort of meet her there. It's not that I had to, but it's like I got to. I witnessed it. It humbled me. I was like, I realized the lack of integrity, and I met her there. But it gave me opportunities also to say stuff to Matilda. It's like, hey, I'm doing this sort of, and I would have these needs, etc., etc. Could you do that? That would really support me. It's a really beautiful question and topic to bring up, even regularly, semi-regularly. Come back to the topic because as things, responsibilities change, different times of year, you know, summertime responsibilities and school time responsibilities. We homeschool, but a lot of you would have kids at school. There's different responsibilities at different times of year. Coming into the, you know, in a few months' time, at the time of recording, there's the holiday season. Hey, you know, you bring that. How do you feel about the division of responsibilities in a relationship, you know, over the holiday season? So, super proof, powerful question. Number two in relationship-centered generative questions. How do you feel about the level of intimacy in our relationship? Yes, that is the question, guys. Attack these questions. You've got to practice having the courage to go there. How do you feel about the level of intimacy in our relationship? When you go there's a part of your queen that can start feeling safe and relaxing because you're leading the conversation. You're bringing the topic. You're bringing the question. Just to pepper it in here, some of you might go back to that library of, oh, in conversations, and she always shuts me down. So you get nervous bringing the conversation. But it's the fact that historically, high chances she has perceived, probably justifiably so, maybe not for all of you, maybe not for all of you. However, it's like that you haven't brought the topic. And then a lot of the library of resistance and resentment and fear that's in your mind is it's not because of the topic, it's because she was the one that had to keep bringing it and she would meet resistance in you. So changes everything when you practice bringing, having the courage to bring the question. So, how do you feel about the level of intimacy in our relationship? What a potent topic to bring and have the courage to bring. Shut the fuck up. And listen, how do you feel about the level of intimacy in our relationship? And then listen to what comes. And again, go there yourself. How do you feel about the levels of intimacy in your relationship? And now you're having a beautiful, life-changing conversation. Can fire come up? Yeah. Well, masculine practice is to have the courage to ask the question anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway, as the best-selling book said. Feel the fear and do it anyway. That's masculine practice. Masculine you, masculine, there's masculine in our women as well. Masculine practice is feel the fear and do it anyway. Have the courage to go there. So that one, how do you feel about the level of intimacy in a relationship? Number three in relationship-centered is a really beautiful one to get to know your queen better. How do you prefer to receive and express love? How do you prefer to receive and express love? One of the major unwitting fuck-ups that we do in our relationships is we express love in the way we like to receive love. You might love receiving gifts. If you're like me, you didn't get enough gifts growing up, living in poverty. I was like, I fucking love receiving gifts. But maybe that's not something that your queen values. And you've got to touch base. So, how do you prefer to receive and express love? You've got to touch base with her. How she likes receiving it. It's like it could be words of affirmation, it could be physical touch. But get curious, and that gives her the safe container to go, well, hey, receiving love from me, it's like, this is how I prefer it. And, you know, then she can bring up, it's like, hey, I know you know, you've said we've fought about gifts, you know, you've given me gifts, but it's really just, I prefer words of affirmation. Like, that's so much more valuable. It's like, when you wrote that letter, and then it brings up, it's like, hey, do you remember that time you wrote that letter, that love letter back years ago? It's like, that was the greatest gift in the world, because it was like, it was a gift, but it was words of affirmation. So, you know, it just all comes to the surface. And then how she prefers to express love, you get to know her more intimately, how she likes expressing love. And of course, creating that safe space, your queen is feeling seen, heard, and safe in this. It naturally comes that you get to express, well, you know, how I like expressing love and how I love receiving love. And maybe if you could do more of that, you know, that's an amazing thing, and et cetera, et cetera. It opens everything up. And you, again, you're rebuilding and deepening your friendship together, this soulmate and this soulmate style relating. Number four, where do you feel we are doing well in a relationship? This is a question I like bringing in. It comes from Larry Basham in, I'm forgetting his book. He's an ex-Olympian. I just love it. Like, focusing on the positive. Where do you feel we are doing well in a relationship? It's a really powerful one. It builds positivity. It builds appreciation. It builds acknowledging there's some good shit there. Where do you feel we are doing well in a relationship? Number five, what's a challenging aspect of our relationship that you think we need to work on? What's a challenging aspect of our relationship that you think we need to work on? I actually, if you're fresh to this, I have done it before. Larry Basham, with Winning in Mind is the name of his book. He actually goes, talk to the positive first. So to make an exception to the ask one question, these are great partner questions. Like, ask the first one first. The first one first. Ask, where do you feel we're doing well in a relationship? You can tell your queen. It's like, hey, I'd love to set like a habit in our relating to focus on positive first. So you can tell her, it's like, hey, I want to ask this, I'm curious about this, what we're doing well, and I'm going to follow up, baby, with the challenges. But I'd love to, for us both, to get on what is positive and acknowledge that first. They're powerful questions to come together. By focusing on what's, you know, the answering the first, where do you feel we're doing well in a relationship? You build a foundation under both of your feet that's like, hey, there is some good shit there. And it can be a challenge, maybe at points, to dig there. But you remain focused there. Then you answer the second one. What's a challenging aspect of a relationship that you think we need to work on? Again, the value in bringing this type of question demonstrates the immense value that you have. And if you haven't practiced it like me for 12, 13 years, whatever. Best time to plant a tree 20 years ago. Second best time today. From today, start having the courage to lead the conversations needed to create your expanding family vision. It's that embodiment of progress. The masculine penetrating energy. You know, masculine power is penetrative. It goes from A to B. It's an amazingly powerful gift into your relationship container. Generative questions are the way to go there. So, coming into landing, so we've done queen-centered, relationship-centered questions, future-centered generative questions. First one, how do you see our careers evolving alongside our relationship? Such a beautiful question, this one. How do you see our careers evolving alongside our relationship? One of the great tension points in relationships is the perceived negative effects that career progression is having on the relationship. Too many hours in the office, and we rationalize, and our queens can do the same. We rationalize, oh, but you know, it's just till I get this promotion. It's just till I get my business up and going. It's just until. And that just until period can sometimes last years. Sometimes it's like a semi-permanent state of being that there's always this horizon point. Almost like the ultimate horizon point is when I retire, I'll be fully with you. And the entire thing can be dead and gone at that point. So this is bringing a really central, important topic to the table. How do you feel? How do you see our careers evolving alongside our relationship? The unspoken, the unexpressed needs, desires, things come true in this. But again, you're chase the storm or the storm chases you is a masculine mantra we use here. All of these questions is you chasing the storm. That's why they're so powerful. They build trust by you leading the conversation. So this, how do you see our careers evolving alongside our relationship? This has opened up so much for my queen and myself. We being online entrepreneurs, content creators, et cetera, this line of questioning. I was sort of caught in a loop of, I'm going to work this really like, going to do the heavy lifting now. It was something that Matilda got sort of sick of hearing me say that. It's like, baby, it's heavy lifting in the beginning, and then at some point I'll be able to step back off it. But yeah, this type of generative question brought up, her desire to have more time with me around. There's tons of projects here. Our garden, self-sufficiency ideas, which is an ideal, but I was putting that to the horizon. And this type of question brought about, it's like, okay, well, let's do it. As I started speaking about heroic husbands, there's 3 weeks on in those meetings and 1 week off. Keeps me and my energy in balance and the guys that are doing the work. It's super intense work. It's fucking vigorously brilliant, exciting, and like non-stop lifelong expansion comes as a result of it. But there is that lovely cyclically having it systematized in that there's a break in it. I just said to my queen, it's like, hey, I can take a week off work. One in every 4 weeks, 3 weeks on, 1 week relatively off. I'm in one of those integration weeks. I do my work first 2.5 hours in the morning. So it's not a full week off work, but it's like before breakfast, I do my work. After breakfast, I'm fully with the girls, fully with Matilda, fully outside doing her work, in her DIY, doing up the house. We've a project d doing up it's a 100-year old Irish cottage. So it's doing stuff that is f exclusively for myself, Matilda, being with the girls, family time. We do family adventures these weeks off, and garden work, and yeah, all the project that is 100% a focus on us. Awesome. I'm feeling infinitely better. Infinitely better. But it wouldn't have come without that type of question. And of course, there's tons of stuff that has brought up for Matilda and like how she's developing her career. As a result of this type of question, I'm able to temper where her mind is going with her new membership and go, hey, baby, I know you're saying you want to do that, but you have distinctly spoken several times that you want way more time to do writing. So it's like if you go with your podcast and the membership that's coming with it, like you're saying now, literally we're having these conversations these days. It's like if you do that, you're going to squeeze out the space for writing full time as well. So you really can't keep developing that. Otherwise, you're going to cut the writing. It's like, do you want to do that? And she's like, no. So it's super powerful. How do you see our careers evolving alongside a relationship? It brings up so many jigsaw pieces of data that can inform you and support you being a badass like CEO, leader of the company, leader of your family organization. So you can reflect back to your queen and start mapping your life out on your terms. Number two, future-centered. How can we keep our relationship exciting and fresh in the long term? Oh, this is so important. It's almost like there's another question I like. It's like, what turns you on? There's such a cultural conditioning on like that just being a sexual thing, but it's libido of life. How can we keep our relationship exciting and fresh in the long term? Boom! fucks on its head this horrible, horrible assumption that long-term relationship just dies. That's like an unavoidable cross to carry. Ugh. I'm feeling more excitement and fresher in my relationship 16 and a half years than I did fucking 2 years into it. It's mindset. But again, you need to ask the questions because, hey, I will say at the same time, like, more excitement now, but hey, with new things that come up at work, new expansions of the girl, hey, the same shit, different day, risks coming in and encroaching and getting into same shit, different day, like, it happens. Hence, I cyclically bring this question and sort of cousins off it to my queen, to myself. It's like, how can we keep a relationship exciting and fresh in the long term? You know, it's myself and Matilda long term that will survive beyond the girls being at home, beyond careers, beyond the thing. Like, we're the debt to us part pact. Yourself and your queen, you're the ones that all of the different things that are happening temporarily around you, you're the core project. So if your relationship, your marriage, your intimate, you know, bond together is not front and center as the most, like, it's the most important topic. This is where the kids fly the nest, marriages end. Because why? The marriage was never nourished and the fucking kids took it all. Because, hey, there was a masculine pole in there. It happens both sides. But in this podcast, I'm all about grilling your ass. We need to grill ourselves as men. It's the leader. It's like the masculine leader pole just got lazy. And you kept your mind distracted on other shit. Your business and fucking mowing the lawn and the house. And you forgot that the most important energetic entity of your life, beyond your own spiritual connection with yourself, with God, etc., is your relationship with your queen. It is. It doesn't have to be. But if you're arguing about it not being, well, your marriage results will reflect that back to you. You know, it's like what we prioritize and place our awareness on. Where your awareness goes, the energy flows. If you haven't been placing your awareness on your relationship, hey, that's why you're listening into this podcast. That's why you scramble in a search in Spotify or Apple iTunes to get this to this podcast. So how can we keep our relationship exciting and fresh in the long term? Number 3, future-centered gender questions. We're coming into landing, guys. Full honoring to you for sticking this through. These questions, I like, feel the excitement. These questions are like, oh man, it's, you know, they're sort of like those cheats. They're almost like cheats in gamings. You know, like where you can, I don't know if you did, I didn't do much gamings, but I remember my brother playing them and it's like, oh, he got this cheat code and now you had supersonic like health levels and nobody could hurt you. You always had these. This is like a cheat code. These questions are so high leverage to change the game completely. Okay, number 3 for future centered. How do you think we can maintain our individual identities while building a shared life? What a beautiful one. How do you think we can maintain our individual identities while building a shared life? It has both the individual honored in it while building a shared life, because what happens, I know myself, is like I sort of brought my own, without this generative style question, I used to be like, hey, I would bring my self-centered reflections to the table. You know, it's like, I feel I'm getting lost in this relationship and, you know, who I am, my identity, who I don't know who I am anymore. And it's like that would threaten Matilda. It was threatening her and it would threaten any wife, because it's like you're bringing your self-centered issue to the table. You're focused on yourself. It rears up a lot of fears of, oh, you know, it's like, what if he grows into his fullness? He's like, is the relationship wrong? Does he not want us, etc.? The power in this question is it's honoring both. How can we maintain our individual identities? It's both your individual identity and mine, but it's bringing back the connection orientation while building a shared life. So it really relaxes the fear of abandonment and the fears that you might just or you're feeling suffocated and you want to break free from the relationship, that the relationship is bad for you. It's not. You're building a shared life. And how do you think we can maintain our individual identities while we're building that shared life? It's fucking beautiful. And so much beautiful, juicy stuff comes up when you ask this. Potentially comes up. There's all this richness of the human existence. You know, coming together as human beings, I like the success for me, my defined success is tapping into the limitless, authentic human expression that is to come through me as a man, as a human being, my queen, my kids, even the authentic, it's not human expression, but spiritual expression through our animals. Like, what joy, what happiness is their life meaningful in whatever way? And it's like, I do think like that. So this question, how do you think we can maintain our individual identities while building a shared life? Super, super potent. Number, like the second last question here, how can we support each other's personal growth while growing together? Again, it's bringing this, we're each other's number one fans in the world. I'm here to encourage you. You know, you can encourage me. How can we support each other's personal growth while growing together? Again, it's the focus on the individual. How can we support each other's personal growth? But it's bringing the teamwork. It's like we're a team. How can we support each other's personal growth while growing together? It's the growing together. It's the togetherness. It's not this resentful sort of, like, if you're like me in the beginning, it's like I read No More Mr. Nice Guy, and I actually got quite self-centered. It happens a lot in men's work, where guys wake up, and you wake up and you're like, oh, you know, it's like life, I've been forgotten. I need to rediscover who I am. Who's my authentic truth? And you sort of fucking kamikaze style come into your relationship, and it's like the big elephant in the room is that you can have like a ton of resentment with your queen, that she was the one that put, she's the ball and chain, she's the one that suppressed you. It's such catastrophic horseshit. If you've been suppressed, you allowed yourself to be suppressed. And I say this, and I know that there's like an assassin, there's a killer in you that would want to, like, in from your ego, a part of you, let's keep it technical, keep it clean. I know Mr. Nice Guy is like, oh, how dare you say such a thing. It's like a really horrifically dark, resentful energy can come out when I speak like that. Because you've, you know, victimhood is like, oh, but my queen, she has been. You don't, if you're like me, it's like, you, I had reflections like, you don't know who my wife is. You don't know how bad she is. I really thought that and believed it, frighteningly so. You get to be each other's best fans in the world, and your wife has never been the one that stepped in your way. You didn't have the skill set, you didn't have the embodied practice, you're the only one that has been getting in your way. I've done other episodes, and maybe to really unpack the fullness of that, Heroic Husbands Men's Circles is the place for you. You to have that support to go there. Okay. Last but not least, how do you think we should approach financial planning for our future? Oh, beautiful, juicy one. How do you think we should approach financial planning for our future? One of the leading reasons for divorce, for relationship breakdown, is arguments about money. A lack of a safe container where husband and wife, king and queen, can just safely bring their unique values and perspectives on this, and it becomes this avoided container that just when it comes up, it's this tension roundabout, and it's so destructive. How do you think we should approach financial planning for our future? And again, with the generative questions, what's beautiful about it is you're meeting the feminine needs. You lead with what is your queen's perspective. The feminine needs are to feel seen, heard, and safe. So it's like when you lead with a question and you practice shutting the fuck up and you don't start trying to fix it. That's actually another thing, maybe in the container setting I should have spoken. It's like, if your queen comes out with some stuff, practice shutting the fuck up and listening for way longer than you normally would. Way longer. Uncomfortably long listening periods. And don't jump in to fix. Like she says, oh, you know, my dream is, oh, here, this is what you can do. Do this, do that. I know a mate. We can do this. Listen to that podcast. It's sacred space. Making sure she feels seen, heard, and safe. And listening fully. It's a bit like, I'm not saying my practice is perfect. I do get caught into jumping into fix. And my queen, she lets me know. It's like, you're trying to fix me, Mark. I do get caught, guys. I do. But it's like the one on the whales. You know, when Matilda told me yesterday, like she was talking for about half an hour in that. It was secretly inside myself. It was like, oh, hey, you know, like I'll get our financial shit together. Business going better. Savings to the side. I'll be able to. And it was like a total, it's like the fix was there, but it was on the inside. I left it on the inside, allowing her the safe space to express and go wherever she needed to go for 25 minutes, half an hour. When if I jumped in straight away, oh, here, we can book something. Maybe we can go on a holiday. Maybe you're like, where would you like to go? Blah, blah, blah. I let her go where she needed to go. So how do you think we should approach financial planning for our future? Such a beautiful one. Brings up so much. Both sides, and like that maturing bond of trust and safety. The safety that she knows you're going with these style of questions, demonstrating the reawakened fullness of value that she can witness in you. And it doesn't matter, guys, if you didn't go there for years, you're like me, you're like every guy out there. We didn't have the skill set. We were like pretty much abandoned, even if our dads were there, and like we were abandoned by this society that has indoctrinated us into disconnection oriented thinking and behaviors, and the whole of society is set up that way. So that disconnection orientation has really hammered the shit out of the beautiful container that marriage is, can be, and should be. But it's only when you realize that, oh, generative questions, this is an entire toolkit by itself. These are 15. They're 15 of the best ones. There's tons more out there. The general thing is bring more generative questions. Even trust your own questions that come through you intuitively to your relationship. Set the container. Lead these conversations. Create again and again. Save time. You know, pockets of time on a daily basis. Our king and queen walk is a daily practice. And in moments when, for whatever reason, there's a change of work schedule, etc., and we end up unwittingly not getting on them for a couple of days, we feel it. And I literally will turn to my queen and go, wow, you know, I'm really feeling that we haven't got for the king and queen. It's like, when has it been? It's like, oh, it's like been a few days or this week, whatever. People visited, we just didn't get out. We feel it immediately. And the king and queen container is that 10 minute minimum. Again, does run into more time, but you know, if there's a weekend or integration week, these conversations, one question can lead to like an hour and a half of beautiful curiosity and sharing and adventure together. And it's the type of thing that I believe most couples, most men I speak with, will say, oh yeah, we used to do that in the beginning. I remember myself and Matilda, when we got together first, and fuck, we did the wounded meets wounded, codependent to like an extreme, and we got married our style like 6-7 months in. Actually, this 16-year anniversary of our marriage is coming up. It's today. Fuck, I better. I'm looking at the date. This is happening live, guys. It's 9 a.m. in Ireland. I've got to be the hero and go down and go, hey, baby, I'm going to bring some humor. It's like, baby, you forgot. It's our anniversary. This is the podcast host. This is the dude. We have two anniversaries. We have the one of when we got married, our style, and we have the one of when we met, and I think it's the ni it's 9th of February and 9th of October. So there you go, live. I'm sharing that with you live. It's like, I've said to guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles, it's like if you put some fucking projection of perfection on me, that I'm meant to be this perfect guru style shit that has all the shit in order. It's like, I don't. I'm 9 a.m. in the morning. Thankfully, I've looked at it now and I'm like, cool. Thanks to recording this podcast, I'm able to be the one, because my queen didn't tell it to me either, so she forgot too. So I've got the moral high ground. I'm going to use it. Anyway, guys, I did not. This was not to be about my anniversary. Spontaneously coming through, so it will make the podcast, because that's intimate relating. You're not expecting perfection, but progress, progress, progress. Planting seeds of that. Coming into landing, these conversations are the juice of relationship. Those early days when no kids, maybe you weren't in the full throes of like career progression, etc., etc., etc. All the tons of mundane chores that are semi-important, but over the long term, they're not fucking important to taking time away from intimate connecting. Re-establish the joy, the art, the container setting to bring sacred generative questions in on a regular. I would say try and get it in on a daily basis. Several times throughout your week, bring generative questions. Go there. Be the husband, be the king that has the curiosity and the sense of joy and wonder and the sense of courage in your practice to bring these often, so that your queen starts feeling that she has again become the center of your fucking universe, and she is important to you. Her heart and her soul and what she desires to birth into life. You are the man. You're not waiting for marriage, your marriage to spontaneously just correct it. You're going to go into the container of your marriage and bring these questions. It's super high leverage. Super high leverage. I can't emphasize enough, because you might as well, like, marriage is just total shit when you're living with this person, like, day in, day out. You go to bed together, you wake up together, you have kids together, you have all of this life. This is the one person that you're having the vast majority of your human interactions with, over the course of your life. And if you're not bringing questions that open up your heart, your soul, what you desire, what she desires, the life that you could live together. What's your future? Where are you going to be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time? What are you going to plan? What does that mean for us now, individually? How do we grow as individuals, etc., etc.? Man, it's just a dead existence. It's just a suffering. And you will just see it as a ball and chain type reality. But that's not on your queen. That's on you and your lack of practice. So use these. See them as like a toolkit that you're there able to create whatever fucking it's incredible castle-like reality. You have these tools available to you. Super quickly going through them again to remind at the end. Queen-centered. What's a change you'd love to make in how you care for yourself? What are some ways I could support you? Number two, what is something you'd like to do more of in your life? What dream? Be thinking of one or two that you're going to take away from these today and use with your queen. What dream have you put on hold, and why haven't you pursued it yet? What fear might you like to overcome, and how might it change your life? What is currently stressing you that you haven't told me about? Relationship centered. How do you feel about the division of responsibilities in our relationship? How do you feel about the level of intimacy in our relationship? How do you prefer to receive and express love? Where do you feel we are doing well in a relationship? What's a challenging aspect of a relationship that you think we need to work on? Future-centered, last but not least, I stick with it to the end. Repetition is mastery. How do you see our careers evolving alongside our relationship? How can we keep our relationship exciting and fresh in the long term? How do you think we can maintain our individual identities while building a shared, fucking awesome, beautiful life together? How can we support each other's personal growth while growing together happily ever after? Like two old ones, radically alive in life. I'm adding a little bit to these questions coming into landing. And finally, how do you think we should approach financial planning for our future? Kings, kingly brothers, heroic husbands around the planet, I honor you. So much honoring, so much appreciation for all of you. I will bring it in if you would like some support to end 2024 as the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, I've designed it and continue to incessantly upgrade it, improve it every single day of my existence. It's the single greatest container and environment to place yourself to become the marriage transforming masculine pole, masculine inspired spiritual fucking heartbeat of your relationship. The introductory price of $149 per month is available to you. That will change to $199 in the first month of 2025. You might as well jump at it now. Unapologetically, I will remain this again and again and remind you again and again. Lone wolfing does not work. Being a husband in today's environment with the disconnection-oriented society that has been systematized around us, it's the number one most important leadership role on the planet today in humanity. And it's the most difficult period in the history of humanity to do a good job at it. Lone wolfing will not work. Having support of regular guys doing a regular deep inner work and accountability support along with it, with tons of teachings, tons of juice, infinitely more precise beyond what you have here in the podcast, that's the environment to place yourself in. You might as well do it now. Best time to plant a tree 20 years ago, second best time today. Best time to save your marriage and get it right was 20 years ago, 10 years ago when you started off. But the second best time is today, not tomorrow. Stop putting off to tomorrow. Lone wolfing will take you home. And I don't want you to be like some of the guys that are reaching out to me going, hey, she has the divorce papers on. I've been listening to your podcast for 6 months, 18 months, etc. Fuck, what do I do now? It's like, well, you're welcome no matter what phase you're at. But today is the day to transform the most important relationship in your existence, in this human existence, this journey. Today is the time. It's in the podcast description notes. Click the link. You might as well get an application call and see where it takes you. I know I will back up, and the leaders in the movement and every single guy that's in it will back it up, that it will be the single greatest decision you've made in your adult life thus far. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.